وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى shower His rahmah and His blessings on you, Hazrat مولانا سليم صاحب. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى فما ربحت تجارتهم وما كانوا مهتدين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran regarding the Munafiqeen that these are the people who have purchased deviation for the price of guidance. Their trade shall neither be profitable nor will they be guided. Allah has created every person with a natural inclination towards belief, towards Iman. He has also granted people the faculty of understanding. Thereafter, He has sent His prophets, the Anbiya alayhimus salam, and numerous divine scriptures. Whoever fails to believe after all this must certainly be regarded as one who purchases deviation for the price of guidance. Some people have destroyed their faculties and have accrued deprivation and loss to themselves. They turn away from hidayat and guidance for the measly gains of this transitory world, thereby dooming themselves to eternal damnation. It is indeed foolish for them to think that their behavior will profit them. Their similitude is like that of a person who kindles a fire. When his surroundings light up, Allah snatches away their light and leaves them in the darkness, unable to see. Deaf, dumb, and blind, summum bukmun umyun, fahum la yarji'un. They will never return. The first similitude of the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts the condition of the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, using the example of a person who lights a fire to have light around him. In a similar manner, the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, they feign being Muslims so that they can attain the worldly benefits of being Muslims, like being guaranteed safety and security. However, when they die and are subjected to the severest punishment, the temporary benefits of this world and their false claims will be useless to them, just as the person kindling the fire will be left helpless when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away the light of the fire. Deaf, dumb, and blind, they will never return. This is the ultimate result of these people. They become deaf and blind to the truth and cannot speak a word of truth either. They will never return to Islam because of their greatly deteriorated condition. Or their similitude is like torrential rain from the sky, wherein there is a multitude of darkness, thunder, and lightning. For fear of death, they place their fingers in their ears because of the thunderclap. Allah encompasses the disbelievers. The time is near that the lightning will snatch away their eyesight. Whenever it lights up for them, they walk therein. When darkness prevails over them, they stand still. If Allah wills, He could take away their faculties of hearing and seeing. Verily, Allah has power over all things. So now in the second similitude, Allah depicts the examples of the hypocrites as people trapped in a lashing storm. The thunder and lightning instill such fear in them that they have the fear of the loss of their lives. They thrust their fingers into their ears to cut off the noise. The lightning is so bright that it could blind them in a flash. They are totally bewildered and can only take a few steps in the light of the lightning. Then when the light has vanished, they stand rooted to the spot. So such is the condition of the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, when they see the light of Islam flashing before their eyes, as the Muslims gain victory, they run towards Islam. However, once the darkness of worldly love and carnal passions seize them, they fall back and stand isolated from Islam. However, Allah is well aware of their behavior, and if Allah wills, He could take away their faculties of hearing and seeing. Verily, Allah has power over everything. The acclaimed commentator Allama Baydawi interprets the similitude to mean that the belief, the iman of the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, being tainted with infidelity, kufr, and deception, is similar to rain that accompanies darkness, lightning, and thunder. Although rain is beneficial, it becomes detrimental when accompanied by these elements. So the hypocrites adopt nifaq, hypocrisy, to be saved from the harms that befall the open infidel, the kuffar. This is similar to thrusting the fingers into one's ears to cut out the noise of thunder, just as placing one's fingers into one's ears will not drown the noise of thunder claps. So too the nifaq and the hypocrisy of the hypocrites will not help them against Allah's decree and adversities. Because of the severity of the situation, the person caught in the storm hesitates about what he has to do, fearing that the lightning should deprive him of his eyesight. Similarly, the hypocrites are hesitant in their actions and will proceed only when they see the opportunity, otherwise they hold back. So some commentators have mentioned that the first similitude is of those hypocrites who are extremely staunch in their hypocritical stance. Allah refers to them when He says that He will leave them in the darkness, unable to see. They say that the second similitude applies to those hypocrites who are very doubtful. The truth of Islam has penetrated their hearts, and they are inclined towards it. However, the attractions of the world prove to be an obstacle in their path and destroy their inclination. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O people, worship your Lord, who has created you and those before you, so that you may become abstinent, you may gain taqwa. He who has made the earth a bedding for you, the sky a roof, and has sent water for you from the sky, thereby extracting fruit for you as your sustenance. So never ascribe partners to Allah knowingly. After making mention of the sincere believers, the mu'min, the infidels, kuffar, and the hypocrites, Allah proceeds to extend the invitation of tawheed with the oneness of Allah to humanity at large. So Yain also expounds his creative capability and expresses his power and favor using examples that even the most simple-minded person can relate to. In the first of the above two verses, Allah exhorts man to worship Him, for He is man's creator and nurturer. To avert the argument of those who claim that their parents created them, Allah immediately adds that He also created those before you. Allah did not stop at creating man, but He also keeps him alive and has created all the amenities and means for the survival of man. If a man worships Allah, he will acquire the quality of piety and taqwa, which basically refers to abstinence. There are various levels of piety and taqwa, the highest being the level whereupon a person is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every moment and lives and dies for Allah. Abstaining from minor sins also constitutes piety, taqwa. A person who is continuously conscious of Allah's presence will not sin, and since he does not sin, he will naturally be saved from the fire of hell. It is for this reason that certain commentators have translated the concluding words of the verses, so that you may be saved from hell, instead of so that you may become abstinent, inculcate taqwa. So the greatest sin is shirk and polytheism, where the best form of worship is a belief in tawheed, the oneness of Allah, by abstaining from polytheism and other sins, while having a firm conviction in Tawheed, in the oneness of Allah, one will be saved from the torment of hell. Although every creation is a manifest sign of Allah's power, he expounds three signs that may be comprehended by one and all. Allah says that it is He who has made the earth a bedding for you. Even a blind person realizes that he is walking and living on the earth. Allah has made the earth a source of habitation and vegetation for man so that he may live his life here. The mere existence of the earth proves that someone must have created it. If Allah had completely covered the earth with mountains or with water, it would have been extremely difficult for man to live. Allah then says He has created the sky as a roof. In addition to this, distress is lessened. Evil thoughts are reduced. Doubts and fear are dispelled. Allah is remembered. Allah's grandeur fills the heart. Evil anxieties disappear. It is beneficial in curing diseases linked to the heart as well. It consoles an eager heart. It is conducive to fostering love between people. It is a direction faced by those who supplicate to Allah. Allah further says He has sent water for you from the sky, thereby extracting fruits for you as your sustenance. From the same ground, Allah extracts various types of fruits with different flavors. In pondering over this fact, one can ascertain Allah's power of creation and nurturing. Allah concludes this verse by addressing man. So never ascribe partners to Allah knowingly. Man cannot fall into the error of worshipping other beings after pondering over these signs that have been made clear to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are in doubt with regard to what we have revealed upon our slaves, upon our slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ, then produce a surah the like thereof, and call your allies besides Allah if you are truthful. Now the proof of the apostleship, the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the miraculous nature of the Quran. Once a person believes in Allah, he needs to recognize Allah's qualities and needs to learn how to worship Him. However, man cannot know these things by himself. Therefore, Allah has sent the prophets, the Anbiya alayhi salam, to teach man these things in his own language. To prove the veracity of these prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to perform various miracles which best suited the times. So the Arabs in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam were extremely eloquent and proficient in the Arabic language. They used to convene gatherings wherein they recited poetic verses to each other. People used to hang their poems on the Kaaba Sharif, thereby challenging anyone to compose better poetry. Allah sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet to the whole of humanity till the day of Qiyamah. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has performed numerous miracles which are enumerated in his biographies. As a crown of all these miracles, Allah revealed the Quran to him because the Arabs were so proficient in their language. So the Quran Majid is a miracle lasting to this day which none can challenge. So one of the famous poets at that time, Sayyidina Labid bin Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala, whose poems offered a challenge to others during the period of ignorance. After he became a Muslim, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu once asked him what poems he had composed after accepting Islam. So he replied by saying that Allah had replaced his poetry by the likes of Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. In the above verse, Allah challenges the infidels, the kuffar, by saying, if you are in doubt with regard to what we have revealed, that is the Quran, upon our slave, then produce a surah the like thereof and call your allies besides Allah if you are truthful. So initially the infidels were challenged to produce 10 surahs like those of the Quran, but they were unable to do so. Eventually the above challenge of one surah was issued. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Yunus alayhi salam, say, Qul, produce a single surah like the like thereof and call whomsoever you can besides Allah if you are truthful. Certain ignorant people during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if we wish, we could say the same thing of the Quran. However, they were unable to accomplish such a feat. Some people did try to compose some verses to rival the Quran, but they were miserably unsuccessful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, if mankind and the jinn combine to produce the like of this Quran, they would not be able to produce his example, even if they are assistants to each other. So if you cannot complete the feat, and you will never be able to do so, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا, then fear that fire, the fuel of which is men and stones, it has been prepared for the disbelievers. And history bears testimony to the fact that none has ever been able to produce a single surah equivalent to even the smallest surah of the noble Quran. And the above prediction, therefore, has been most accurate. Since there is a need for people throughout the ages to believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah made his miracle everlasting so that everyone may witness its miraculous nature. They may thereby be in convinced of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authenticity as Allah's prophet. The truth of the Quran is evident. Yet some people, after hearing it, still choose to reject it because of obstinacy and national prejudices. In doing so, they expose themselves to the torment of the fire of hell. It is for this reason that Allah informs them that when they cannot meet the challenge, they should fear entry into that fire, the fuel of which is men and stones. It has been prepared for the disbelievers. So commentators say that the stones to be burnt in hell will be the stone idols that the polytheists carved. Surah Anbiya contains the following address to the infidels, to the kuffar: verily you, together with what you have worshipped besides Allah, shall be the fuel of hell, of Jahannam. You will all pass thereby. In Durr Manthur, as Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas reports, that the stones mentioned in this verse refer to sulfur, which Allah will create as He pleases. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the dreadful fire of Jahannam and make our yaqeen very, very strong in Allah's book, the noble Quran. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.